This is Lawrence Tuning, and these are my 88 friends.
Me and my 88 friends. Me and my 88 friends. I will sing you a song that will help me along. They're my one man band. I'm the number one fan. Me and my 88. Me and my 88 friends.
Merry Christmas, everybody. This is Lawrence Tuning, your host. The show is Me and My 88 Friends. I do have more friends than 88, but as most of you know, the 88 friends are the keys on the piano. I like to play and sing at the piano. So this show today is going to be devoted to the story of Christmas, what it means to us. I have my friend Buddy Miles here sitting at my side. He's been my cohort for a long time. He engineers the show, keeps the knobs in place, and keeps the tape running. And I've asked him to sing a Christmas song of his own choosing. So, Buddy, it's nice to see you today.
Nice to be here again, Lawrence.
You have 5 children. Have you bought all your presents yet?
My wife has.
When you get my age, Buddy. By the way, Buddy's, I'm older than Buddy's father. He's young enough to be my son. And he's a smart aleck, too, just like a son is to their father. But at my age, Buddy, I'm 72. It's easy. You just give money. You just give money. They're older, old enough to just go buy it themselves. So, any words of wisdom about Christmas this year happening at the Miles household?
Just let my wife do all the shopping, and I pretend like I know what's in the box.
You could actually have a nativity scene of your own, but you don't have a donkey, but you got, tell me all the animals you got, then we're going to get into the Christmas spirit.
Currently, rabbits, chickens, we got about 40 chickens and 3 ducks and 4 dogs. And a snake. I think that's it for right now. No cat.
With that in mind, I want to ask you, Buddy, to tell me what you're going to sing so I make sure I know how to play it right.
We're going to try and do O Holy Night.
One of the hardest songs to sing in all the Christmas catalog and one of the hardest to play. A French song, by the way. You're going to sing it en français?
No, en español.
So here is my wonderful friend, Buddy Miles, opening the show with O Holy Night.
O Holy Night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt his worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angel voices. Oh, night divine. When Christ was born, oh, night divine, oh, night when Christ was born. Truly
taught us to love one another. His law is love, and his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus raise we, let all within us praise his holy name. Christ is the Lord.
Thank you, buddy, for singing that song. We're going to talk about the story of Christmas. The thing I want to say right off is that it doesn't start in Israel. It doesn't start in Bethlehem, the manger, all of that. Many people, when they think of the Christmas story, that's where they go. But the Christmas story starts before time ever began, because the Bible is very clear that Jesus always existed in heaven with the Father. There's the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. The Bible says his goings were from everlasting. He is like Melchizedek, without an ending, without a beginning. One of the first cults that ever started in church history was a group that began to teach that the Father created the Son. And they sang a song that said there was a time when he was not. The Bible is very clear that Jesus, the one that was born in Bethlehem, always existed in heaven with the Father. John 1 says that the Word, speaking of Jesus, was with God in the beginning of history and was God. And it said that nothing that was made without him. David wrote a psalm in Psalm 110. He said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. What was he talking about there? He was talking about the Father turning to the Son in heaven and saying, sit at my right hand. When Jesus returned to heaven after his resurrection, he sat down at the right hand of the Father. This is where he was before. He just took his seat back. And think of that. David says, the Lord, the Father, basically, said to my Lord, said to the Messiah, said to Jesus, the Son, sit beside me. Sit at my right hand. If you read the book of Genesis, the Father, you have God saying, let us make man in our image, plural. He's talking to his beloved Son. So that's where it starts. It starts before Jesus appeared on the earth. So I want to start this episode about the story of the incarnation of Christmas with a song I did with my band called In the Beginning.
In the beginning, God said, let there be light. And there was light, and it was good. In the beginning, chose to make a man from the dust of the earth in his own image. God made man's bride. Everything was good. Then the two rebelled. Sin cast its spell. Then the darkness fell once more. Among men, we beheld his glory, you can't
came into his own. And his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the children of God.
The Gospel of John says in verse 4, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." Another translation of that word comprehend is overcome it. The darkness did not overcome it. Jesus is the light of the world. He came into a dark world. Book of Matthew quotes a verse out of the prophets that says, "The people who were sitting in the darkness saw a great light. And to those who were sitting in the land and shadow of death, unto them a light dawned." There's a verse in Isaiah chapter 60 that says to us, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the peoples, but the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear upon you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising."
The night is black,
people sleep. The earth is filled with a darkness so deep. The only light they will ever see has risen upon. In the book of Galatians, chapter 4, verse 4, the Apostle Paul wrote these words, "But when the fullness of time came, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law." When the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary, this young girl that most people think was an early teenager, some people think she was 14 years old, and he began to tell her what was going to happen, her response was confusion. She was confused and troubled. It was different than the response of the husband of Elizabeth, who was going to be the father of John the Baptist. He simply didn't believe it. But she said, "How can this be? Because I'm a virgin. How is this going to happen?" And then the angel explained to her that the Holy Spirit was going to, in effect, place a baby in her womb. She then said, "Behold, the Lord's bondservant. May it be done to me according to your word." I've always thought that was an amazing response. "I'm your servant, Lord. Be it done to me according to your word. I embrace whatever it is that is your will for me and what your word is for me." That was a courageous thing to say, really, because it came with a price. She would spend the rest of her life with people, even later after she died, thinking that the whole thing was a lie and that she was a loose woman who had gotten pregnant out of wedlock. Even Joseph had decided to secretly put her away, to quietly put her away, because he was a righteous man. He didn't want to totally shame her. But even he believed that she had had sexual relations with another man. But she said, regardless of the cost, be it done unto me according to your word. The Passion Translation translates her response this way. It says in verse 38 of Luke 1, "Then Mary responded, saying, 'Yes, I will be a mother for the Lord. As his servant, I accept whatever he has for me. May everything you have told me come to pass.' And the angel left her." Later, she went to see her cousin, who was the pregnant mother of John the Baptist. And when her cousin recognized that the mother of the Messiah had walked into her house, Mary sang a song. And this is the next song I want to play. This is taken from what Mary said to the Lord. It's called the Magnificat. It's a very long poem, but this is the opening part of this wonderful song that Mary sang in praise to God. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. My soul magnifies the Lord. Holy is his name. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. My soul magnifies the Lord. Holy is his name. Been mindful of my lowly estate. You, is mighty, has done great things, my soul magnifies the Lord. Holy has been mindful of my lowly estate. He who is mighty has done great things, my soul magnifies the Lord. Holy his name, holy is his name, holy is his name. During Jesus' 3.5-year public ministry, Some of the cynics who didn't believe in him had this charge against him. They said, he cannot be the Son of God or the Messiah because he's from Nazareth. And we know that the Son of God has to be born in Bethlehem. What they had forgotten about was the census that the Roman government had sent out, where everybody had to go back to their cities. It's true that Mary and Joseph were from Nazareth, but there was that one period of time where they had to go to Bethlehem, because that was where the Bible had prophesied the Messiah would be born. In fact, when King Herod inquired to see where he would be born, the teachers of the law knew exactly the verse, and this is the verse, Micah 5:2, says, but as for you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will come forth for me to be ruler in Israel. His times of coming forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. That's a very important phrase there, from the days of eternity. Again, it's saying it didn't happen here on earth. It happened all the way in eternity. He had always existed. He just chose to come to earth, to Bethlehem. We all know the story about the shepherds in the fields. I read the other day that Bethlehem was a well-known city for raising sheep, because it was so close to Jerusalem, and it was a big business for people to sacrifice lambs without blemish. So the baby Jesus was born, as we know, in Bethlehem. By the way, it was in a cave. It wasn't out in a big open field. I've been there to the spot where they believe he was born. And very few people knew it, but a few people learned that night, had the shock of their lives, that something amazing happened in their town. There were shepherds in the field. They had a visit by an angel. I want to play the song I wrote many years ago called Starry Night.
The Savior of the earth, this is the we saw him, we trembled inside. Some of us laughed and some of us cried. Oh, how our hearts were filled with joy. What a beautiful boy. We were singing,
glory to God in the highest, glory to
I was thinking the other day that you could count on two hands, probably, the number of people that realized something very significant had happened here on the earth in Bethlehem. You had, of course, Mary and Joseph. You had a few shepherds. Later on, you had an old man, Simeon, who God had shown he would not die till he saw the Messiah. And you had a lady named Anna, an older lady named Anna. Those were the only ones who recognized something was happening that was earth shattering. There was another group. We call them the Magi. We call them the wise men. You know, people say there were three wise men, buddy. But he says, I say this all the time. It never says there were three wise men. There were three gifts. It says wise men, plural. It could have been two. It could have been 25. I don't think there were that many. But anyway, the Magi, they were astrologers. They were not part of the Jewish faith at all. But they saw this star, and they had the insight to feel like this was no ordinary star. There's something going on, and they decided to follow it, and they were truly wise. I like this story about them because you don't have to have a whole lot of knowledge about the Lord to see that you want to know truth and you want to follow the truth wherever it leads you. And so I could imagine those guys getting together, talking about that star, and deciding it's time we need to go on a little trip. I wrote this song. I finished it just a few days ago. It's called Follow That Star. Star in the sky, shining oh so bright, just like a beacon. Could it be speaking to us? Something big's about to occur. Could it be a sign of something divine on the horizon? Oh, they say we are wise, so I advise we've got to follow that star. Oh, it's a long ride, but I believe we've got to take it. Oh, it's a long ride, I don't want to miss this chance. It was prophesied long before you and I were living. star would arise out of Jacob and Israel. There would be a king with a scepter in his hand ruling the nations. He would be divine and his name would be Emmanuel. Oh, it's a long ride. I believe we've got to take it. Oh, it's a long ride. I don't want to miss this chance. Worship him just as soon as I see him. I'm gonna worship him, bow at his feet. See that star in the sky, shining oh so bright, just like a beacon. Could it be speaking to us? Something big's about to occur. Let us gather our things and bring to him our gifts of thanksgiving. I've got some frankincense. Somebody get the gold and myrrh. It's been a long ride. I'm so glad we took it. It's been a long ride. I'm glad we didn't miss the chance. Saw that star in the sky, shining oh so bright, just like a beacon. It was God speaking to us. Something big was about to occur. Worship him. I'm gonna worship him. I think of those magi starting out on that long, long trip because they've seen that star and they know in their heart something big's about to occur. I wrote a song many years ago. Ray Bolts helped write it with me and Steve Milliken. But I think of the wise men when I sing this song. I'm going to play the original version of it. It's called Rise, Let Us Be Going. Of worship, he's drawing. I said earlier in the episode that you could probably count on two hands the number of people who recognized that something very significant was happening in Bethlehem. And I've thought about each of these characters as I've been reading the scriptures lately. You had Mary. The thing that impressed me about Mary was her willingness to embrace whatever the will of God was, even though there would be a price to pay. She simply said, "I'm your servant. Be it done unto me according to your word." You had Joseph. The thing that impressed me about him was how quickly he always obeyed. If God said, "Get up in the middle of the night and flee," he did it. If God said, "Even though it doesn't make sense, marry this woman who was already pregnant," he did it. You had the wise men, and what impressed me about them was their seeking of truth. They were not believers in Jehovah, evidently, but they realized something was leading them toward truth, and they were willing to drop whatever they were doing and make that adventure and make that journey, and they ended up worshiping and being some of the first people to see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You had Simeon, the old prophet, who believed God's word when God said, "You won't die till you see the Messiah." You had Anna, who looked into Mary and she could see that a sword would pierce her soul one day. Then you had the shepherds. What speaks to me there, and it blesses me so much, is that they were ordinary people. God didn't send the news to a lot of the dignitaries in Israel. He sent it to regular, ordinary, common people, just like you and me. And then you have Herod, who said he wanted to worship, but he had no interest. This all happened to just a few people, but one day it will change. He will come back a second time, and every eye will see him, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that he is Lord. And I'm so happy that I don't have to wait till then to confess that he's Lord. I hope you come to know him in a deep way this Christmas season. We have had a tradition at our house at Christmas time where I get the nativity scene down and I get the kids in front of me. This was our tradition when they were growing up, and we've got grandchildren now. We'll probably do it again. where I get each character of the nativity scene and explain the story to the kids. I was thinking about that because we've done it so many times. And I had this wonderful tune, didn't have any words to it, so I decided to turn it into a song. This is the Christmas story.
Mary was beloved of God, a highly favored one. She was chosen to give birth to Jesus, God's own Son. From ages past, the prophets spoke that he would come someday. Then a star shone in the east, enlightening the way. Bethlehem, oh Bethlehem, how small you did seem. Yet from you came forth the Lamb of God, the King of Kings. Joseph was beloved of God for giving Christ a home. He loved him as a father would. He loved him as his own. Wise men came to praise his name and bow at his feet. Angels sang and shepherds proclaimed the news in the street. Jesus, our Redeemer, sing to you a song of praise this happy Christmas morn.
Thank you for listening to our Christmas episode of Me and My 88 Friends. I hope you have a wonderful holiday. I want to thank Buddy Miles for singing O Holy Night. He's usually behind the scenes, but today he came to the forefront, did a great job of a great Christmas classic. We want to close tonight with an instrumental song that my bandmate, Brian Hoogenboom, did with his brother. God rest ye merry gentlemen, and I might say gentlewomen also. Merry Christmas. God bless.
Me and my 88 friends. Me and my 88 friends. I will sing you a song that will help me along. They're my one-man band. I'm their number one fan. Me and my 88. Me and my 88 friends. Precious in my sight. Some are quiet, some are loud, some stand out in a crowd. Me and my 88, me and my 88 friends. We've been friends for a long, long time, ever since I was old enough to climb up on a piano stool and get to know them one by one. Me and my 88 friends. Me and my 88 friends. Some are black, some are white, they are precious in my sight. Some are high, some are low, re mi fa sol la ti do. Yeah, me and my 88.